They have heard that Tanner's preaching is so bad, they can't believe it. And so they came to see if it could possibly be that bad. And so, lo and behold, here they are. Yeah, I know, you're going to take notes. Richard's going to watch me like a hawk. I'm scared. Not really. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 23. We're talking about wise words from a wise man tonight. Solomon was given an incredible gift of wisdom. Oh, man, no one has ever been as wise as Solomon, because it's a wisdom that came from God. And yet Solomon, though he had all this wisdom, didn't always use it, which is proving the old proverb, we most of the time know much better than what we do. And isn't that indeed the case with most of us? We know so much better than what we do. Well, in this passage in Proverbs, there's one particular emphasis that we're going to make tonight on wise words. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, starting in verse 17. But a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The book of Proverbs, as I already stated, is a book of wise words from the wise man. We need to listen to wisdom. Young people, pay attention. These old gray hairs that you see all around you, look around, you'll see there's a bunch of folks with gray hair. Some used to have gray hair. I'll leave it at that, all right? These folks have some experience. They're not always right, but you know what? They're right more than they're wrong. And so you should listen to them a whole lot more than what you do, because they know what they're talking about. Pay attention to the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the elderly, those that have lived life. Listen to them and learn from them and avoid many of the pitfalls and mistakes that they have made in their lives. Solomon is giving us incredible words of wisdom here tonight. So we need to pay attention. This is specifically dealing with how we use our words. Thinking before we speak. Being considerate in what we say. Knowing when to speak and when to be quiet. And I know that's an art, and not a lot of us are very good at that, including myself. But the first point I'd make is found in verse 17, and it is simply this: don't fool yourself. You know a lot, but you don't know as much as you think you know. Now, let that sink in a minute. You know a lot. This is true for all of us. But you don't know as much as you think you know. Now, I know I hear the humility speaking right now. I hear people saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't think I know a lot. I don't ever come across as though I know all. I understand. But in our own minds, we think we understand things. And a lot of times we're not understanding. We don't have the full picture. We don't have the whole story. And so it's easy for us to draw conclusions without even having all the facts. We don't know as much as we think we know. You're at a restaurant and a waitress is just, well, let's put it this way. If we tipped according to quality, she would get one penny because her service isn't worth 2 cents. Okay? Y'all know how that is. You've been there. You've been served by servers who just absolutely wouldn't pay any attention. What kind of day is that person having? What happened at home this morning before they left to go to work? See, we don't know. So this is why I'm saying we need to be careful what we say and how we say it, because we don't know as much as we think we know. Don't fool yourself. If you're honest with yourself, you will be honest with others. Honesty is not just the best policy. It is the only policy. It is God's policy. So we're going to be honest, but we're going to be wise in how we speak truth. If I'm honest with myself, I'm going to tell only the truth to myself. I want you to think about that. If I'm honest with myself, I'm going to tell truth to myself. I'm not going to kid myself. I'm not going to lie to myself or deceive myself. But you know what? If I'm honest with myself, I will be honest with others. Lies must not ever cross my lips. I must not speak lies. We are fooling ourselves if we think we can lie and get away with it. It's not going to happen. We need to make sure we declare righteousness, but a false witness declares deceit. All right, number two, verse 18, we need to speak the truth in love. The truth often hurts, doesn't it? I mean, it often does. When you tell somebody the truth, sometimes their feelings are going to get hurt. They don't like what they hear. That's just the way it is. If you're opposed to some particular doctrine, you have a belief on something, and someone tells you something different than what you believe, you're not going to like that. But what if they're telling you the truth? And if they back it up with Bible, and they show you what God says on something, you may not like it. It may hurt. It may sting a little. But truth is still truth. And brothers and sisters, we must love truth. We have to develop a strong love for truth. The truth, the Word of God, yes, truth, but truth itself, the concept of truth. We need to love truth. We need to love truth so much that we cannot bear the thought of telling a lie under any circumstance. We need to love the truth that much that we cannot lie. We cannot lie. Y'all heard the story about this fella that his dad came up to him and he was talking to his father, and his father said, son, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, did you push over the outhouse? Boy said, what? You heard what I said. Did you push the outhouse over? Did you push it over? Let it roll down the hill. Did you do that? Little boy said, well, Daddy, George Washington never told a lie, and I better not tell a lie either. He cut down the cherry tree, and he told his daddy he cut down the cherry tree, and so I want to be like George Washington, so yes, Daddy, I pushed the outhouse over. So his daddy took his belt off and wore him out. And he said, Daddy, when George Washington admitted to his father that he chopped down the cherry tree, he didn't get a whipping. His daddy said, you're right. He didn't. But George Washington's father wasn't in the cherry tree. We need to recognize that sometimes truth hurts, and the truth will cause us to get hurt. Sometimes it's a painful truth. Sometimes the awareness of truth goes against what we believe or what we want to hear. Another point is gossip. What if I'm telling the truth? I'm gossiping, but I'm telling the truth when I'm gossiping. I'm telling the truth. It's still gossip. I may be telling the truth, but it's still gossip. If I am sharing something that is destroying another person's character and reputation, I should not be sharing that. I should not be spreading stories. I need to be very, very careful. It is never gossip when you're building someone up, when you're sharing a good story about somebody. That's not called gossip. Gossip is when I'm sharing bad, when I'm sharing evil, when I am tearing down a person. That's gossip. But if I have good news, you know, to share, I can share that. And that's not gossip. That's just joy. That's rejoicing with those that rejoice. Using the truth to destroy someone is an evil thing. The Bible says, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. the way we use truth, the way we express truth is very important. It doesn't, the Bible say, love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be spoken to? How do you want someone to talk to you? Well, you want them to speak to you with respect and with kindness. And if they do have bad news, if they do need to share something with you that they know you're not going to hear, you can tell they are being extra careful to be nice, to be courteous, to be considerate. You can tell. And so recognize that in others, but practice that yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The key here is speaking the truth in love. That is the answer. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. We can't think that we love someone if we don't speak the truth to them. If I withhold the truth from you, then I can't honestly say that I love you, right? I can't. But if I speak the truth and love to you, even if the truth hurts, even if it hurts, you can still tell that I love you, that I'm not trying to beat you up with the truth. You got to have truth and you got to have love. Both have to be included in this. The third point in verse 19, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, well, you know how the saying goes. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. Can you go wrong with the truth? I mean, can you? If you tell the truth, can you go wrong with it? God is going to bless you for telling the truth, but sometimes you may suffer. Sometimes the truth hurts the truth teller, doesn't it? Doesn't the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? However, it goes on to say, the truthful lip shall be established forever. The lying tongue is just for a moment, but the truthful lip shall be established forever. You see, if you're a truthful person, you're going to have a reputation of being truthful. Now, truthfulness is you make a promise, you do everything you can to keep it. Now, I know there are times when we have to break promises. There are times when it's unavoidable. We may have every intention of doing something. And I mean the best of intentions. Honorable, honest, godly intentions. And something happens, some unforeseen thing happens that keeps us from being able to keep our word. What is the right thing to do? Contact the person that was expecting you and do the best you can to make it right. Explain the thing. But this is part of that being honorable. We know Abraham Lincoln as what? What's his nickname? Somebody tell me. Honest Abe. Everybody knows that. Because Abe Lincoln would not lie. Abe Lincoln was an honest and honorable man. But President Richard Nixon's reputation was ruined because of lies. And no matter how much he said, I am not a crook, he may not be a crook, but he lied. And he lied a lot. Bill Clinton did the same thing. Lied. And lied a lot. And brethren, we just need to recognize that so many people have damaged their reputations because they were not honest. When you lie, you have to keep on lying. Lying is not a one-time deal. It's not something that happens for a moment and then it's over. No, if you lie, you have to keep on lying and you have to build a lie. Well, folks, we all know that. You know, as the old preacher said, I'm preaching to the choir. I understand. You folks know this. But we need to remember, when you get caught in a lie, then who can trust you? Remember the story of the little boy who cried wolf? And if you've not told your children that story, mamas and daddies, you need to tell them. Grandma and grandpa, you need to tell them the story of the little boy that cried wolf, because it helps children understand the importance of being honest and being truthful. And then the last point I'll make tonight, some people are thought to be fools. Some people are seen by others as foolish people. Others open their mouths and remove all doubt, as the saying goes. Some folks indeed are foolish, and they open their mouth and they prove it. But there may be some who think we are foolish. There may be some who have the opinion of us that, well, this is a foolish person. I know that because we are Christians, because we are trying to live right, the people in the world out there would look at us as foolish people. We are giving our money away. We are having to limit ourselves. We're guided by all these rules. We don't agree with homosexuality or abortion. We don't agree that marijuana should be legalized. We don't agree that alcohol is a good and productive part of our society. We don't agree that convenient lie is a way of saving people. We don't agree with these compromising ethics and worldview of morality. We don't agree with that. And so they look at us and say, "You're so foolish. You're failing to be able to make all there is out of life. You're missing opportunities because you're limited. And you have to go to church every Sunday. Man, listen, you missed out on some of the best bass fishing this year because you had to go to church. And you missed out on opportunities to work and get double pay working on Sunday because you had to go to church." And they just see us as foolish because we don't agree with them, because we don't go along with them in their worldview. But there are those who appear to know a lot, and they never stop talking. And that indeed in itself is not wise. Listen to the rest of this proverb again. "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness." A prudent man conceals knowledge. What does that mean? Do we try to hide the truth? Is that what that means? I may know something and I don't talk about it, I don't tell it. Is that a good thing? Well, the Bible describes a man like that as a prudent man. Would it be wise for God to tell you when you're going to die? Would it be a wise thing for God, who has this knowledge, to tell you, "Melvis," let me get away from there, "Melvis, here's the day you're going to die"? Would that just not mess up the rest of your life? I mean, you know, that's not something that's going to happen. God has knowledge that He does not share with us. You adults have knowledge that you do not share with your children. Okay? If somebody says to you, for instance, "Do you think these clothes make me look silly?" What are you going to say? Well, if you say yes, you're mean. You say, "Oh, I'm telling the truth." You're mean. Don't be mean. Charles, don't be mean. I know I can read his mind. He's wanting to pour some salt on me. I know it. I can tell. We don't need to be mean. There are things that we keep to ourselves. There is truth that you may know. Did not Jesus say to His disciples on at least two occasions, "I have other things to tell you, but you can't bear them yet"? On at least two occasions, Jesus said to them. Later, He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will reveal all things to you. You're not ready for it yet. And the same is true with our children. As they're growing, there are certain truths about life that they're not ready for yet. And it would be wrong to impart that knowledge to them, even though you have the knowledge, but you're keeping it to yourself. See, this is what Solomon is referring to as a wise person, who is a prudent man or prudent woman, who has knowledge, but does keep it to themselves. A prudent man conceals knowledge. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but not truth. We do not hide the truth. In fact, we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But there are things we say in a way that are appropriate and right. My friend Jerry Humphreys, Charles knows him well. A number of you others may know him. I know Ronnie knows him. Great gospel preacher. I wish we could get him here before he dies for a gospel meeting. Y'all would love it. Jerry's a great man. But Jerry taught me something at IBC many, many years ago. And several of you have heard me say this, but I have tried to live by this philosophy. His attitude when he spoke, he said, he taught us boys, he says, listen, you may not like what I say, but you're going to love the way I say it. And I have tried to live that way in the way I talk to people, the way I preach and teach, the way I deal with my wife and my children, the way I deal with you, the way I deal with strangers. You may not like what I say, but you're going to love the way I say it. I'm not going to do anything to hurt you in what I say by the way I say it. What I say may be painful. What I say may be hard to hear, but I'm going to do everything in my power to ease your pain, to ease your suffering as you have to hear it. And one way of doing that is by not going too long, right? That's one way of doing that. All right, as we close, when we're talking about the gospel, we have to stay with the gospel. Don't let people pull us off to the side. Well, why don't y'all use instrumental music? And y'all take the Lord's Supper every week. Doesn't that get old? And do you really think baptism is required? I mean, what if a fella's out in the desert somewhere and he wants to become a Christian? I mean, you know, they ask so many questions. They try to pull us away from simply sharing the gospel with them. Don't let people pull you away from the gospel. Don't let them draw you away in what you believe. But as you're trying to share the gospel with people, don't let them sidetrack you. Stay with what is right. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So here are the four thoughts again. Number one, don't fool yourself. You've got to love truth enough that you accept truth as for what it is. Don't fool yourself in thinking that relative honesty is okay, that lying under certain circumstances is okay. Don't kid yourself. Lying is wrong at any given time. We need to be honest with ourselves. Don't fool ourselves. Number two, speak the truth in love. We need to let love be the motivation behind anything that we say. Let that motivate us to be careful how we talk to people instead of just being, you know, I know a lot of folks that are sort of like a bull in a china shop when they talk to folks, all right? And when they speak to you, they're liable to say just about anything. And you just have to take it. You just have to be mature enough and adult enough to just accept it and deal with it and go on. Well, that's not the way God wants us to live our lives. And I, you know, these folks need to be working on that, but we do too. Speak the truth in love. And then you have to be careful about speaking truth even when it hurts, even when it is difficult, even when it causes you to get in trouble. Speak the truth anyway. Be kind, be as compassionate as possible, but always speak truth. And then recognize when to be quiet and when to speak. I think it's time for me to be quiet. Y'all have listened very well this evening. Let's close with this thought. Jesus said, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I like to focus on the justified part. By speaking good things, by being nice and considerate, by being polite, by being direct with people and caring enough to share with them what you know to be true. To confront when it's necessary, but to confront in kindness and in love. I believe that God will justify us by the words we speak, even when they're hard words. But we need to recognize that by our words we will also be condemned. God will condemn us if we do not stay faithful to Him. And if we speak lies, and if we speak out of hatred and not out of love, God will hold us accountable. By our words we will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. Solomon gives us some wise words to live by. My encouragement to you tonight is do your best to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God will indeed bless you. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, if there's a way we can help you to rededicate your life to Him, we encourage you, come now as together we stand and sing.